Today is Monday, August 27th, 2018. And today I want to talk a little bit about the issue of sin when you're already a Christian. It's been on my mind lately. This one verse really has been stuck in my mind for a couple of years. It bothers me. Let me just read you this verse. I think it's something we need to really slow down and consider as Christians. Okay, the verse is Hebrews 10, 23 through 27. I'm just going to read it here. Wait a minute. Hebrews 10. Oh, okay. Okay. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. Okay, now here's the... I just wanted to read the context that it was in, okay. Here's Hebrews 10, 26. This is the one that... For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. So, this has to do with, it's pretty basic. It's plain to see that it's saying, once we've received the truth and come into knowledge of Christ, and you know right from wrong, and you're reading his word, and you've received your forgiveness of your sins, and it's saying if you carry on willfully, if you carry on in sin knowingly, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. I think it's talking about abusing his grace, abusing his mercy. Maybe this is an obvious truth to a lot of Christians, but this hasn't really dawned on me until recently. This is scary. I think we need to be careful. We need to be careful as Christians not to abuse his mercy and abuse his... I know that he died on the cross for all of us, for all sins of all time. And when you come into Jesus, you are forgiven. You come to him and begin a relationship, acknowledge that you've sinned, and pray for forgiveness, and you repent, and you're washed clean in his blood. Yes, you are forgiven. Yes, you are saved. I mean, you've begun the relationship. You've come through that door. He's the door. But I think this verse is reminding us that's not a license to just go out and do whatever you want. It says, for if we sin willfully... It's not saying if struggle. I mean, we sin daily as Christians, but we have His mercy and forgiveness, and we repent, and when we become aware, oh, I messed up again. You repent, you know, sincerely from the heart, and you're covered. Yes, you are forgiven, and you carry on. You get yourself back up, and you carry on. That's the Christian walk. But I think this is talking about maybe cherry picking a sin or two to kind of keep with you under your belt. Like in your mind, maybe you're in denial that this is wrong, or you're in denial that you're even doing it, and you think that you can hide it and carry it with you, and you're not struggling with it, and you're not repenting, but you're carrying it with you. This verse is calling that out and saying, no, you can't do that. And it's scary. Let me read it again. Hebrews 10, verse 26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. It's like saying his blood stops there. That's what this is saying. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. So if you are not struggling with your sin and repenting, it's not saying be perfect, but for example, if you're a Christian and you have, you're following Jesus in your mind, you're following him, and you think everything is fine, and let me read this other verse. So, oh, and by the way, I am not even qualified to even talk on any of this. I'm not. I'm just someone who's, I've been a Christian for about 30 years now. And I'm still learning and growing. I am no authority on the matter. I am no preacher or teacher. I'm just someone who, I'm just sharing as I go. Sharing what I'm learning. That's all I'm doing. So I'm not setting myself up as any authority. So please pray on this and look it up for yourself. And or maybe it's already obvious if you're a Christian. This is already obvious, old news to you. But it's interesting to me because I never really absorbed that verse, because when I became a Christian when I was 17, I did not, I mean, I got worse in a lot of ways, and I did more sins, and it was terrible, and even all through my 30s, but yet I called myself a Christian. I was praying, I was following him, I was praying and reading my Bible. But when I would backslide and do things, I would repent, but there were some situations that I didn't really repent over. I would just go with it and think in my mind, well, I can do this because I'm a Christian, I'm saved. I know it's wrong, but I can do it because if I die, I'm going to go to heaven. But see, one of those things was in this list. Let me read you this other verse here. This is 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. Okay. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So, I mean, I think all of us used to be at least one or two or three or four of those things on the list of sins that were just in that verse. But when we come to Jesus, we're forgiven and made clean. We're washed. And if we mess up again, yeah, we can go to him and be washed in his blood. I mean, you can do it daily if you have to. Now, that shouldn't ideally be the Christian walk, is constantly messing up. I mean, eventually you get better and you don't have to repent so much, but his blood is there for you when you do mess up. But those things in that list, here's the thing, think about this. If you call yourself a Christian, but you are willingly, knowingly, consciously doing any of those things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. So, no, this doesn't go against grace and mercy. It's not that argument. It's not. It's, yes, his grace and mercy and his blood covers us all. But you can't abuse it. You cannot call yourself a Christian and continue to do these things. Now, if you mess up and struggle and repent, you're forgiven. But look at the list. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators. That's sex outside of marriage. So how many Christians are having sex outside of marriage and think it's okay if they die in a car wreck? They're going to go to heaven because they're Christian. But they're fornicating. Knowingly, willfully. That was me all through my 30s. On and off, thinking, well, if something happens to me, at least I'll be in heaven. No! And I was in so many close calls. I mean, on the road, I was, so many attempts on my life, you can call it. And I'm not paranoid. I don't have a persecution complex. It's a reality complex, knowing the way the world really is. Yes, I've died. Come close to death so many times, so many close calls and accidents. In any of those, if I would have died, I don't know if I would have gone to heaven. Knowing what I know now, because in some of those situations, I was not struggling. Some of them, I was just going along on autopilot, just denying anything was wrong and just going on autopilot and just doing what I wanted to do. But it doesn't say in this verse, be not deceived, neither fornicators nor idolaters, unless you're Christian. If you're Christian, it's okay. It doesn't say that. You can't cherry pick his word. You can't decide what you're going to accept, to obey, and what not. And here's another one, idolaters. That's hard. This is a hard one. Nor idolaters. And idolatry isn't just a thing of the past, ancient relics, you know, Buddhist statues and statues in church and stuff like that. Idolatry is alive and well today. Anything that we put before God, whether what, you know, comes first in our heart, what we value the most. You know what idolatry is. I don't need to. But if you carry on after you know the truth about Jesus and you call yourself a Christian and follow him, you can't hold on to idolatry. You can't have anything in your heart that comes before him. You can't have anything in your life that you put before him. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. That's Jesus said that. Nor adulterers, that's an obvious one. Here's another one. Nor drunkards. So if you are habitually getting drunk and you're a Christian, that's not okay. You can't, well, he says it right here in his word. Oh, here's another one. No, nor covetous. Just desiring, wanting things. And how common is that? These are everyday things that are like a normal part of our life. So we as Christians, we cannot, we've got to take inventory, spiritual inventory of our habits and the things we're doing. This is serious stuff. It says it right here. See, I used to read this verse and think, this applied to those who died in their sins and didn't know Christ. But once you know Christ, these things are kind of blotted out. Even if you continue to do them, we're still covered. If it were that easy, anyone could call themselves Christian. And didn't Jesus say, it goes beyond just believing. Some people think just because they believe in Jesus, they believe Jesus is the Son of God, so they think they're saved. Well, Jesus said even the demons themselves believe that and tremble. They know he's the Son of God, and they tremble at his name. But are the demons going to go to heaven because they know he's the Son of God? So there's another clue right there. See, you got to study this stuff. You can't put this off. You can't put studying his word off till you're old and crippled. You can't. You have to look at it now. And I know the world feeds us all this other stuff, so many distractions and fun things to do and think about. But you have to make his word a priority. Another verse is, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word from the mouth of God. Every word. Not just the stuff you like or the comforting stuff that tickles your ears that makes you feel good. Every word that comes from the word of God, you have to study his word. He gave this to us. We have to study his word and listen. Audio Bible is wonderful. Some people say that's not the best way. You should open it up and read it for yourself. They're probably right, but I'm a little bit of a bum. I do listen to audio Bible a lot. Just turn it on and drink it in. You can take in hours upon hours, you know, chapter upon chapter, book upon book. Like, really, I think it's a mercy. I think audio Bible is a mercy in these end times. We're able just to take in a whole lot at once. You can set aside a couple hours of your day and listen to a lot that would have taken you know, hours to read. I'm getting off track. Anyway, this, what I'm talking about here, does not go against grace. It doesn't go against, okay. I think we need to be careful, and I think we need to wake up, and we need to set our priorities straight, and don't be deceived and think that you can carry on with certain sins and think you're going to go to heaven because you're saved. That's abusing what he did for us. He died on the cross for us. He suffered. He was tortured. We can't abuse that. We receive that gift. But we have to follow him. And I'm not saying works equal salvation. I'm not. Don't twist around my words what I'm saying. These aren't even my opinions. I'm reading it right out of his word. You have to study it. And it all comes together. You have to take the time. You can't just believe in God and go about your merry way. You have to study. Study what you're claiming to believing in. Study about the one who came, who died for you and saved you. Study and learn. Apply yourself. You have to make the effort and learn. You know, another verse that comes to mind right now is when Paul said, the Apostle Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That one, that verse is always, I've always wondered, what does he mean by that? What is there to work out, you know? But I think I'm beginning to understand. Figure it out. Think on it. I think it really pleases God when we really wonder about some things and think on it. He didn't set us into debate. He doesn't want us to debate and fight one another. None of that junk. No debate of doctrine. None of that. But, you know, for yourself, open up his word and study it and read it. Apply yourself. It's right there. It's right here for you. It's still legal. And it's life. This is life or death. Whether you accept that fact or not, his word is life or death for us. And I'm convicted of a lot of things, because if I would have died, I don't think I would have gone to heaven. Even as a Christian, claiming to be a Christian, I was carrying and holding on to certain sins and not repenting. Drunkards, that's a big one right there. Or revilers, is that? We have to follow Jesus. We have to follow him. Yes, we have his grace and his mercy. But he knows your heart as long as you're following him. We just can't take anything for granted. You can't take anything for granted. Don't abuse his blood. Don't abuse his forgiveness. Don't just assume that you can do these things and not repent. We have to repent. We have to. If you have to do it every day, so be it. But I want to go to heaven. I do. I do not want to go to hell. And yes, I believe in hell. And it's in the Bible. I can't believe there's certain people who say they believe in God, but they don't believe in hell. And they mock the preachers who do try to warn others about hell. They call it hellfire, brimstone preaching, and they mock them. Yes, it's uncomfortable. It's not anyone's favorite topic, but it's reality. You either believe his word or you don't. If you believe his word, it's in there. And these pastors who are preaching on this are trying to help you and trying to save you. They're trying to help us and remind us of the realities. And don't you know there's people down in hell right now screaming out and saying, no one warned me, no one told me. Okay, well, here are the people on earth, the pastors and teachers, who are reminding people right now of the reality of hell. It's not a pleasant topic, but it's reality. The Bible is reality. We're so used to being fed such entertainment and things we want to see. We are so spoiled. We are such a spoiled generation that we think we can just pick and choose our reality. That's not true. We have to put him first, and we have to follow him and study his word and understand and seek what he's saying. We don't have to be perfect. We are sinners. We sin every day, and we have his mercy and grace and his blood when we do call on his name and repent. But we cannot carry on as Christians with a little secret sin here or there and think that's okay. It's not. It's uncomfortable, but we gotta straighten up now. We gotta pull it together. And be ready to meet him. Because he's coming back. We have to be ready. And remember the verse about, for all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. We can't be perfect. But we have him who is perfect. And his blood is enough. It covers us. And that's all.